Silver blades of high tensile carbon steel flash inside the kitchen of the inner city restaurant as sushi chef Temba Kumalo sharpens them. He says he feels naked without his treasured Japanese knives.
The knives are the only things that make your sushi. If you don't have a knife, you don't have sushi. You have to always have a sharp knife. You have to sharpen a knife each and every morning when you come to work. Sharpen a knife, wash it, disinfect it, everything.
Under a pitch black wall decorated with golden chopsticks, Kumalo sculpts maki, teardrop-shaped mouthfuls of raw salmon, cucumber and avocado, surrounded by sticky snow-white rice in a wrap of paper-thin, dark green seaweed.
Cutting it into four pieces, equal pieces. Done.
Next, the chef manufactures what looks like a piece of bread, topped with chopped raw pink prawns, slivers of avocado and creamy mayonnaise. Sprinkles of black and white sesame seeds and an auburn-colored sauce complete the dish, called spicy prawn bean curd. It's popular, but Kumalo doesn't enjoy making it.
After stuffing with rice, you chop your prawns, you put mayonnaise, you put your spices, you have to mix everything. I hate that thing. I hate that thing.
Kumalo is paid to create sushi art, as he calls it, at the Blackanese, an eatery that's the brainchild of 30-year-old restaurateur Vusi Kunene.
I think what really caught my attention was the lifestyle behind the cuisine, which was the culture.
Then Kunene was raised poor in a village in Mpumalanga province. On special days, he says, his family would eat chicken, but mostly they could afford only porridge and spinach on his mother's meager income as a vegetable seller.
I don't think there was sushi at that time in Africa. I never knew anything about sushi. I mean, I never knew anything about gekken.
So when you were younger, Vusi, if someone had come up to you and said, here's a piece of raw fish, please eat it, would you have eaten it, or what would you have thought?
It would have been impossible. It would have been very impossible. I mean, I would think, are they nuts? Because I don't even...
His mother died when he was 14. Kunene left school and moved to Johannesburg, surviving by doing odd jobs. Later, he became a security guard and then a waiter in a sushi restaurant. There, he says, he became mesmerized by the process of crafting sushi and its vast array of colors and complexity. He set about learning as much as he could about the Japanese cuisine.
I mean, at the time, the chefs were Japanese or Chinese who could not speak English at the time. We were not willing to share the information. But then now I started doing my own research, you know, I mean, on the internet and stuff like that, and moving to different type of restaurants. Then
Kunene started a mobile sushi business 7 years ago. He opened his restaurant 2 years ago. His mission is to create sushi for the African palate and to overcome a misconception he says prevents many Africans from eating sushi.
People tend to think sushi is raw fish, which is not. Sushi is a combination of rice and vinegar. That's where the technique is. That's why you can, I mean, actually have sushi without raw fish. Raw fish is just one of the fillings.
As part of his desire to Africanize sushi, Kunene's recipes include traditional South African ingredients, such as springbok and kudu antelope, and biltong, dried spiced meat.
Now, immediately when you talk to an African person and then you're telling them about biltong sushi, I think they're willing to listen. They're willing to try it out. And then immediately when they get into it, this is when you sort of push them into the extremes.
Kunene maintains black people will eat sushi if it looks good. He adds that he's proved this by coating raw fish in sweet chili sauce, giving the food a shiny orange glaze flecked with red.
And then immediately when you drizzle that onto that roll, when someone looks at it, it looks amazing, it looks inviting, and people are like, you know what, I want that. They don't even know what it is, but the first statement was, I want it.
When the Blackanese opened, most of Kunene's customers were white. Now, he says, his clientele is 50% black.
Sushi has become sort of their staple food. It's something that they eat actually 3 times in a week.
Mm-hmm. At a table in the eatery, a young man dressed stylishly in a blue cashmere sweater, black pants and expensive shoes, tucks into sushi rolls while working on his iPad. He's Seth Mbele, a digital strategist and one of Kunene's best customers. He recalls the first time he tasted sushi a few years ago and the dish he ate.
Tuna sashimi. I found the textures interesting, I found the flavors interesting. Once you get over the idea of what it is that you're eating, it becomes enjoyable. I'm here pretty much 4 times a week, I think.
Demand for sushi from black people continues to stun Kunene. About a year ago, he was hired to cater at a function where he knew most people would be black. So he prepared plenty of meat and chicken, and only a few platters of sushi.
Then when we got there, only turns out people are just mad about sushi, nothing else. And we sort of understocked. It was such an embarrassing moment in front of a client. And you know, I mean,
Kunene says he's thrilled to be changing African eating habits.
And most amazingly, you actually change somebody who has never thought of actually trying sushi. But when they come to the Plekanese and we give them that opportunity to try sushi and we always make sure they enjoy it, then the most amazing reaction is these people become loyal to you. You know,
some of his regular customers are construction workers from nearby building sites.
The gentleman who just walked in here now, who's an electrician in the area, he's been bothering me about getting sushi for his girlfriend because he has actually tasted sushi and it feels like I think his girlfriend should also experience what he has experienced.
Kunene is demystifying sushi, making sure it's not the sole preserve of elite, rich, sophisticated people by giving it an African spin. The once poor village boy, his taste buds accustomed only to porridge, vegetables, and the occasional chicken, is symbolic of a country that continues to reinvent itself. I'm Darren Taylor for VOA News in Johannesburg.